Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and to all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight again, Lord, for your word, for your Bible, Lord, that we can study it, that we can learn from it, Lord, that we can glean truths from it, Lord, and live according to those truths. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you'll speak to our hearts again. Lord, we do need to hear from you, each and every one of us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give us the message you want us to have tonight. Lord, I pray you'll preach through me, Lord, your word, and fill me with your spirit tonight. And Lord, I just pray that that we'll all be attentive to what you have to say. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'll notice there on the wall, we do have a theme this year. And our theme for this year is doing things under God's strength, not our own. And it says, where do you find your strength? Our strength comes from God. And it gives you that scripture right there. The theme for this year is doing things in God's power. And I'll tell you how important that is, folks. The importance of it is if you're going to get anything done, you have to do it in the power of the Lord. You can't do it in your own power. That, you know, we kid ourselves when we think that we can do things in our own power, and all we do is fail and fall down, but we got to do it in God's power. Now, this coming church, there's this coming year, I think it's important that we get back to the basics as a church, as Christians. And the book of Acts begins just that way. It talks about the basics of Christianity. When you read the book of Acts, it basically starts off the early church and the things that they went through, and then all the way from the time that Paul gets saved, and then Paul preaches, and the apostles are preaching, and all the way through. And then from there on, then you have the letters and to the churches. You have the letters to the individuals and those types of things. When we read the book of Acts and the way it starts off and all the way through it, you see a story of success. And you say, well, I just don't see the success because all the people, there are so many people that were persecuted and so many people went through these different things. Yes, but you got to understand that the church started off and it was, you know, you're talking 12 people, and then from there they started witnessing to others and other people started getting saved, and then the gospel started to grow, and then pretty soon it started to go out through all of Europe, and look where we are today. That's how it all began, was back there in the book of Acts. That's where it all began. And so really it's a story of the church triumphant in some ways. And really it's a story of a small group of people with very little money, very little prestige, no seminary, no radio, no TV, no big buildings. It was a small group of people who went out against the imperial might of Rome, who went out against the intellectual sophistication of Greece, who went out against the religious bigotry of that day and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. That's what they did. They did so much with so little. I mean, if you think about what they had compared to what we have today, Christians today seem to do so little with so much. But, you know, I believe we need to look back and see exactly what these people in the early church did and how they did it in order that it may be a pattern to us. In short, we need to get back to the basics of Christianity. And when you read about the church there in Acts, you are reading about the basics, the very basics. And getting back to the basics begins with understanding the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, if you would, again there at verse 1. It says, "The former treatise have I, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach." And you say, well, what on earth are those former treatises? Well, it's the Gospel of Luke. Because we know that the author of the book of Acts is the author of the Gospel of Luke, and that is Luke himself. He was a doctor, he was a medical doctor. And that tells us there that you don't have to check your brains at the door if you give your heart to Jesus Christ. Hey, Luke was an educated man. He was a doctor, and yet he believed. You know, people today try to tell you that only the uneducated believe in the Lord. That's not true at all. In fact, those who don't believe in the Lord or Bible calls are fools. And so it was Luke, a great physician, a noted historian who had written the former treatise, which was the Gospel of Luke. And now he's written the book of Acts. And he tells us here what happened in the early years of the church and what ought to be the pattern for us in this day and age. Now, there are three things I want you to understand about these verses tonight, three things that will help us get back to the basics. And number one, and this is to Christians tonight, if we're going to get back to basics, we need to recognize the presence of Jesus in our lives. We need to recognize the presence of Jesus and how important it is that Jesus is in our lives. Again, there, look at verse 1. Notice it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Now, when it says that he began both to do and to teach, the idea is that he's not finished doing and teaching. Amen? I mean, in Acts, he began to do and teach, but he hasn't stopped. He's still doing it today. He's still doing and he's still teaching. You say, well, I thought the Bible said that he went up to heaven. That's right, he's in heaven, but he's still working, and he's still doing, and he's still teaching. You see, in the Gospels, you see him here in his physical body. And when you read the Gospels, you see him walking around there in Matthew and Mark and Luke, and he's walking around doing miracles. That's him in his physical body. Today, he's operating through the body of Christ, the church. He's operating through you and me. That's how he's working today. And so he's in us. And in your Bible, you notice there in your Bible, if you look at the very top of the page, I know on mine, it says the Acts of the Apostles. Right there, the Acts of Apostles. It probably says the same thing in your Bible. But you know, if you really think about it, it's the Acts of Jesus Christ through the apostles. I mean, if you really think about it. I mean, you can't give the apostles the credit. The acts that were done was Jesus Christ through them. You know, that's the reason today when you see somebody out there and, you know, at these healing, conferences where they bring all these supposed sick people in and you have a guy up there and he slaps them upside the head and says, be healed, and they fall down and start flopping around like a fish. Hey, it's not that person doing anything. Anybody gets healed today, and no, I don't believe in that thing. But if anybody gets healed today, it's not me. It's not some man. It's the Lord. He's the one who does the healing. And so he's still doing today, and he's still teaching today. Do you realize that everything that you know in your Bible came from the knowledge that the Lord gave you? He's the one that's teaching you. And so really it's not the acts of the apostles, it's the acts of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Luke is saying here is in the Gospel of Luke, I showed you what Jesus started to do. And in the book of Acts, I'm showing you what Jesus continues to do. And folks, Jesus is still alive and Jesus is still doing a work. He's still active. And you say, well, where is Jesus Christ today? He's in us. He's in us. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ is alive and he's in us today. And may I tell you tonight that the truth that so many of us miss every day, and I'll tell you what that truth is, and that is, now get this, Jesus doesn't want you to do anything for him. He doesn't want you to do anything for him. He wants to do something through you. That's what he wants. And the problem is we always want to do something for Jesus. We always want to do this for the Lord. And listen, I understand that type of mindset. I understand that. But the truth of the matter is you can't do anything for the Lord. and be successful. You can't do anything for the Lord and get the job done. That's what we always try to do. We always try to do something for the Lord. That's the reason we fail. We have to let the Lord do something through us. Then we can get things done. You know, a lot of people, they go out and they witness to people and they do it under their own power and they have good intentions. They say, I want to do this for the Lord. Well, amen. We should want to do things for the Lord, but we got to do it with the right power. And we can't do it with ours. We got to do it with His. And so really, if you think about it, the Christian life is really not difficult at all. It's impossible. The Christian life. How many of you, when you read your Bible and it tells you that you need, like this morning, remember it says, put all those things to death, fornication, evil concupiscence, and all those different things, put them to death. How's it going on that? Are you successful in that? You say, well, kind of, sort of. Do you mess up daily? When you mess up, and you know that Bible says you're not supposed to be doing that, would you agree with me tonight that living the Christian life the way the Bible tells you to live it, would you agree that it is not hard, it's impossible? It's impossible. And you say, well, wait a second, I thought the Lord told us to do it. I mean, how can we possibly do it if it's impossible? Listen, nobody can live the Christian life that this Bible tells you to and be totally successful at it. Do you realize there's only been one person to ever live the Christian life the way this Bible says you're supposed to live it? There's only been one person to do it. You know who it was? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And there's still only one person who can live the Christian life, and that His name is Jesus Christ. And if the Christian life is going to be lived by you the way this Bible tells you to live it, it's not going to be you doing it. It's going to be you doing it with Jesus Christ. It's going to be Christ doing it through you. Now that's what we have to get. You can't do it in your own power. You can't. And every one of us who has tried to do it in our own power has always failed. And then when we fall on our faces, when we fail, we get all down and out and saying, it's just too hard. I can't live the life that God wants us to live. And I try to do this and I try to do that. That's because you're doing it in your own power, and you will fail every single time. And so that's what we have to understand. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the only one who can live the Christian life through us. But sometimes we get the idea that we can live it. And when we do, we don't fare very well. Now, we all know that we're not saved by our own works. We know that. And we know that salvation was a miracle. How many would you agree tonight that salvation, your salvation, was a miracle? It was. Every time I look in the mirror, I say that it was a miracle that I could possibly be going to heaven. It's a miracle of God that I'm saved today. It's a miracle that you're saved. So our life began with a miracle. And I'll tell you this, one day our life will end with a miracle. One of these days you're going to come up out of that grave. Amen. Amen? And you'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Hopefully it happens before you make it to the grave. Amen? Amen. But your life is going to end with a miracle. But may I tell you that every day of your life is to be a miracle as well. Every day. Every day the miracle continues. Every day, the very life that I live is to be a miracle because it's Christ doing a work in me. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the life that we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to be living a life of Christ operating through us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You see, the reason this early church did what they did with such power is that it really wasn't them doing it at all. It was Christ doing it through them. Have you ever sat in there and wondered that the people that were persecuted, the people that were standing there and the Romans would take them and they'd say, either you denounce Christ or we will kill you, and they stood there and they would not denounce Christ. Don't you ever wonder how they did that? They did it with the power of Christ. They did it by letting the Holy Spirit do the talking. It wasn't through their own power. If it was through their own power, they'd have given up and recanted Christ right there on the spot. You see, we got to get back to the basics. We've got to get back to the basics to where we don't rely on our power. We rely upon the power of God. And the only way, listen, folks, if we're ever going to get anything done, that's the only way we can get it done. If we're going to reach the lost in Great Falls, Montana, if we're going to reach the lost, the only way that we're going to do it is in God's power, not ours. You know, we pray that this church will continue to grow and will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I tell you this, it's the Lord's church. The Lord says, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Upon this rock, I'll build whose church? It's His. Don't you understand that if anything gets done in this church, it has to be the power of Jesus Christ? It's not going to be our power. The truth is, we're inadequate, but Jesus is very adequate. Somebody has once coined these words and said, Lord, I can't. You never said I could, but you can. You always said you would. Jesus Christ can do anything, and we can do nothing without Him. Nothing. You see, the great ability that you need is this, and that is availability. That's what's needed. Just somebody said, Lord, use me. Lord, through your power, use me. That's what we need, folks. You know, in short, is this, we don't need your power. This church does not need your power. It's weak. Remember, back there in the gospel it says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what that's telling you? That's telling you that we're not going to get a whole lot done with our power. But if we trust in the power of Jesus Christ, I can do all things through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Him that strengtheneth me. But that Bible also says, without me, ye can do nothing. Hey, listen, we need the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in Matthew 16, 18. He said he would build his church. Upon this rock I'll build my church. And so we know that if this church is going to be built up, if this church is going to be added to, it's going to be the Lord that does it. Now, notice what Luke is saying. He says, I wrote the gospel of Luke, and in Luke we saw what Jesus began to do. Now I'm writing the book of Acts. And in Acts we see what Jesus is continuing to do. The first time he did it in his physical body. The second time we see him in there in Acts, he's doing it through the body of Christ, the church. And if we could just understand that it's Jesus Christ in us that gets things done. Now turn if you would over to Acts chapter 5 and let me show you something there. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, look if you would at verse 12. Now notice it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Now look at verse 14, it says this. And believers were more added to the Lord, multiples both of men and women. Now, here is basically telling you this, a whole bunch of people got saved. But go back there to verse 12, and it says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Now, even though it says by the hands of the apostles that was doing the healing and the miracles, it was not their power behind those miracles and those signs. Whose power was it? It was the Lord's. It was the Lord. Hey, listen, those apostles had no power by themselves. The power that they had was by the Lord. Why? Look at the miracles that they were doing. They were casting out devils. Amen? They were healing the sick. They were raising the dead. They were doing these things, and it wasn't, even though it was their hands that were touching the people, the power behind that, it wasn't theirs. It was the Lord's power. That's the reason they were able to do all these things. Now, I'm not telling you tonight that you're going to go out there and you're going to raise the dead or you're going to heal the sick. I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you this. You go out there and you go out there in the power of Jesus Christ, you can get things done. You can see people getting saved. You can make a difference in this town if you'll go out there with the power of Jesus Christ. But if these apostles here, they didn't have the power of Jesus Christ, they could have touched people all they want to and nothing was going to get done. They had to have the power of Christ. How would you like for Jesus Christ to work through your hands this coming year? How would you like for Jesus Christ to work through your lips this coming year? He can because He lives in you. As Christians, we try, we fail. We try again and again, we continue to fail. God doesn't want you to try. God wants you to trust. Just trust in Him. And may I tell you tonight, if you do anything, anything that is spiritual and lasting and worthwhile, it's not you that does it. It's Jesus Christ in you who does it. Now, the reason why I know that is this. Because if it was you who did it, then you would get the glory. It's not, if anything gets done spiritually, anything worthwhile gets done, it is the Lord in you who's doing it. And we need to make sure that He gets the praise and the glory. He says, the former treaties have I made unto you, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to speak. And the idea is He's still doing it today. There He was in the Gospels doing it. He's still doing it today. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to see what the Lord does in this church this coming year? Amen. I'm really looking forward to it. If we'll go out there in the power of the Lord rather than our own power and serve the Lord in His power, I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Lord does in His church. I'll tell you this, the Lord has certainly blessed this church this year. Amen. In a great way. And I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do in this church, His church, this coming year. So number one, we need to recognize the presence of Jesus in our life. Number two, we need to receive His promise to us as well. Back in Acts chapter 1, turn back to Acts chapter 1 and look at verse 4 again. We need to receive His promise to us. In Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence," talking about the day of Pentecost. "When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and to Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth." Here, notice that a promise is made. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, verse 44, he said this. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now he said this. He said, don't go out and try to do it on your own. I want you to go there to Jerusalem and wait until you're endued with power on high. Now, does it make sense to you that when Jesus said this, he says, I don't want you to go out there and try anything on your own. You wait until you've got the power to do something, and then I'm going to send you out to do it. He said, wait till the power from on high, until you're endued with power on high, and then go out and do what I told you to do. You know how foolish and how wicked it is to try to do God's work without God's power? That's when he said, wait until the power comes to you. The promise of the Father is spiritual power through the Holy Spirit, and that's what gets the work done. And we don't have to tarry and wait like those people did back then, wait in the upper room, because the moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell in you. Don't you understand the moment you got saved, you have access to that power? The power that Jesus told the disciples to wait on and says, now listen, once I'm gone, you go to Jerusalem and you wait, and then all of a sudden this power will come upon you, and then you go out and do what I told you to do. You don't have to wait like the apostles did. The moment you got saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, and you have the power of God within you right now. If you were saved this morning, you have the power of God in you right now. You've already got that power. Problem is a lot of Christians today won't use it. They won't use it. They go out there in their own power. They think that they can go out and live like the devil. They think that they can go out and live worldly lives and then just go out and start doing things for the Lord and expect things to get done. It doesn't work that way. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit when it means you got to be right with God. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can go out there and you can get things done because you're using the power of the Holy Ghost. But there aren't people today that are saying, you know what, I'll just do what I want to do during the week, and then go Thursday, I'll go witness to a couple people and everything will be okay. And then they wonder why they can't lead anybody to the Lord. Because they're not doing it in the Lord's power, they're doing it in their own. And they think that they're getting something done. That's not the way you get things done. You get things done by the Lord's power, doing it in His way. Amen? And so that's what we have to understand this year. If we're going to have a year to where we can see this church grow, a year to where we can see people get saved, a year where we can make a difference in Great Falls, we got to go do it. We got to do it the Lord's way and do it in His power. And everybody in this room has the power. If you're saved, you have the power, and it's not yours. You have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ within you. And the Lord wants to do a work through you. That's what He wants. Don't you understand that if you go out in His power and you do something and people get saved, people's lives get changed, you don't get credit for it because it's the Lord doing it through you. He gets the glory. That's the reason He wants it done that way. That's the reason He wants you to go out in His power. That's the reason He told those disciples, He said, listen, you go to Jerusalem, you wait till the power comes upon you, and then you go out to Jerusalem and you go to Judea and all the different parts of the world. You go out there and you witness to people. And then people get saved, things get done. What if those disciples said, well, you know what? He said, wait, but let's just go on out and start trying to win people to the Lord. How successful do you think they'd have been? Probably not successful at all. They all might have been killed before the gospel ever got started. They were operating according to the basics. And the basics are just as simple as this, folks. Not operating in your power, operating in the power of the Lord. That's how the whole church got started. You know, we sit there and we watch, and how could those little 12 men in the whole world, I mean, think about that. Those 12 men, and all of a sudden they go out and they start witnessing to people, and those people start witnessing to people, and those people start witnessing to people, and all of a sudden the church just starts growing. And it grows through the Middle East, it grows through Europe, it grows through all these different things. And you say, how did that happen? And not by their power. Not by their power. By the power of the Lord. I really, really, really want to reach everybody in Great Falls. I do. I would like to see gobs of people saved in Great Falls this year. I would like to go out and witness to people and see people get saved right there in front of me. See tons. I would like to see revival in this town. I'll tell you right now, if we try to do things in our power, there'll never be revival in this town. Why? Because the Lord's not going to get glorified in the stuff that you do in your power. But if we're going to see revival in this town, if we're going to see people get saved, we've got to do exactly what the Lord said. He said, wait till you use my power and go out and witness to people. If you want to see people get saved, He's telling you right there how to do it. It's through His power that you go out and witness to people. People get saved then. You go out there and you witness to people in your own power. I mean, great, you hand them a tract, that's planting seed, that's wonderful. But I can tell you right now, folks, you're not going to make a difference in this town unless you're doing it in the power of God. Yes. You're just not going to make a difference. And so when we look back at the early church, we see they were doing the basics. And, you know, the basics is today we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we're filled with God's power. You say, why do I need that power? I need that power to reach people. I need that power to be enlightened. Listen, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. How many of you have ever gone someplace and you had a tract in your pocket and you're right with the Lord and you're walking into a place and all of a sudden you see a person stand there and you just felt this overwhelming urge to go over there and hand them a tract? Have you ever done that? I have. I've done it many times. I'll be walking along and somebody will be walking and it's just like all of a sudden it's like the Lord says, give that man a tract. I'm going to go ahead and hand him a track. I'm glad I have that. Now see, if I'm operating my own power, I'm not going to have that. But if I'm letting the Holy Spirit of God control, and I'm yielding to Him, as I'm walking along, and all of a sudden God, I hand that person a track. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's Him taking control. I need that enlightenment. Why? Because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Listen, I don't even know what the Lord wants me to do day to day. That's whenever I pray, I say, Lord, just lead me. Lord, I'm dumb. I don't know what way to go, how to go. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And you know what? When you surrender yourself like that, the Lord will lead you. But I'll tell you something. If you're strong-willed and you want to go your way, I've noticed sometimes the Lord will let you go. He'll let you go that way. And then all of a sudden you fall on your face and you say, Lord, I need you. And then you figure out that you might have
should have done things his way and his power rather than your own. That's what we need to do. We need to get back to the basics, folks. We need the power of God to enlighten us. We also need the power of God to enable us. I can't win souls. I can't reach the lost. I can't save a man's soul, but the Lord can. I need his power. I need his power to comfort me. You know, the name of the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. John 14, 16 through 18 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. You know, that's one of the great passages in the Bible that proves the Trinity. He just said, I'll send the Comforter. But then he says, I'll come to you. You know what he just said? I'm the Comforter. Amen? These Christians, they were going to face persecution. They were going to face heartaches and pain. Some of them were going to be physically threatened. Some of them were going to be killed. But they had a power to live for Christ and die for Christ because they had the Holy Spirit of God within them. Acts 4, verse 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. If we're going to get back to basics, we've got to understand the power of God. And to understand that, number one, we need to recognize the presence of Jesus in our lives. Number two, we need to receive his promise to us. And then the third thing, and probably the most important thing of all, is we actually need to go out and use his power. It's not enough just to have a preacher sit there and tell you about the power of God and how much we need his power. It's not enough for you to sit there and say, oh, I can do nothing on my own. I got to have the power of Jesus Christ. That's not enough. You got to actually go out there and use his power. Get out there and let him do something through you. In Acts chapter 1, look at verse 8 again. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus wants us to go out and witness to others. He wants us to tell the truth about sin and about the love of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I thought he was going to do it. Yeah, he's going to do it through you if you let him. And that's the only way you think it's going to get done is by him through us. The problem is, folks, when it comes to witnessing, sometimes we, rather than being witnesses, we try to make ourselves lawyers. You ever think about that? You know, if we go to a courtroom, and let's say that something happened and you saw it, you're a witness. You saw it. So maybe they're in a parking lot. You saw somebody slide in and bump into somebody else's car. And the person says, okay, I'm going to sue you. Well, if you're in the church, you can't sue, so tough, okay? But let's just say it's somebody else. And all of a sudden, you're called into the courtroom, and you're supposed to be the witness. And all of a sudden, they call Bob Crowder up up to the chair, and they said, you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth, the whole help you God. And I say, I sure do, and I sit down. And then they say, okay, give us a witness. Tell us what you saw. And I say, I can't. I'm not qualified. I got to be trained. I mean, after all, I'm in a courtroom. I've got to be trained to do that sort of thing. Well, now, wait a second. The only ones that have to be trained are the judge. Obviously, I have to have an education to be a judge, right? And a lawyer has to be trained. Bailiff probably has to be trained. You know, those people have to be trained. But does the witness need any training to be a witness? No. The witness needs no training at all. The only thing that witness has to do is just get up there and say exactly what you saw, right? Or what you heard. That's what the witness does. So many people come to me and says, you know, I would go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ, but I haven't been taught how to. Well, you know, I gotta go to classes. I've got to learn how to go out there. Listen, if I were to give a soul winning class right now in this church, the only thing I'm going to teach you basically is how to get into the conversation. And most of you are better at that than I am. I don't have the gift of gab. I'm a type of person that'll just jump in there and just bluntly just throw it right there at them and say, there it is. Do something with it. But a lot of you probably have better ways of getting into a conversation than I do. That's really the only thing I can teach you. Why? Because your job is just to go out there and be a witness. And anybody can be a witness. Hey, how many of you could say that Jesus Christ did something for you? He saved your soul, right? You know how you got saved? Anybody in this room not know how you got saved? If you don't know how you got saved, then you might not be saved, okay? But I'll enlighten you. The gospel, it says that you had to believe that he died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day by this gospel by which you're saved. That's the gospel. You got to believe that. You cannot be saved and not believe in the resurrection. You got to believe in the resurrection. If you don't, then guess what? You're not saved. That's the gospel. Believe he died for your sins, that he was buried, he rose again the third day. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Now, if you called upon him and you say, Lord, forgive me my sins, and you believe he died on the cross for you, you're saved. Yeah. Now, you say, well, I want to be a witness to that. Well, then you go out there and you tell other people exactly what you did. And if you walk up there and you say nothing else but say this, you know, I was saved back in 1975, and here's what I did. Now go and do likewise. You just gave them a witness. The only thing you're supposed to do is give a witness about Jesus Christ. Tell them exactly what happened to you. Amen? Yeah. You say, well, aren't we supposed to be witnesses to everybody? Absolutely. Absolutely. Every time the Lord blesses me, I make sure I try to tell somebody about that. That's being a witness to other people as well. Why? It might just help you in your Christian walk. You want to hear a great thing that the Lord Jesus Christ did for me lately? He does something for me every day. Just one thing. I'll just pick one. When we came back from Oklahoma, we saw the storm coming in, and we saw that it was moving in pretty quick, and we're thinking, boy, we got to get back, otherwise we're going to be caught on the road during this thing. Well, where we were at, to make it to where we needed to be that night is usually about a 10-hour trip. And I'm thinking, okay, we're leaving at 3 or 4. 10 hours is going to make it awfully late, which means if we get in there late, then we'll sleep late, which means we had a later start. And we probably won't make it in the second night, too. So we're looking at two nights on the road rather than one. And I'm thinking, wow, that'll put us right smack dab in the middle of a storm. And that's where I don't want to be. But the Lord took care of us because he showed us a different route that we had never seen before that you couldn't even find on a map. It was only on a GPS. And it's a little two-lane road that went out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, for miles, all you could see is just wheat fields everywhere. I mean, no towns, no nothing. And so we took this little road, and we turned here, and we turned there, and we went this way and turned here. And then all of a sudden, within 7 hours, we're where we were supposed to be, not 3 hours off that trip. And the difference that made was we didn't even really run into the hard snow until we got to Eddie's Corner. The last 80 miles was pretty bad. If we had not gotten that route, we'd have hit snow a long ways before that. And we would have been right smack dab in the middle of that. The Lord took care of us on that thing. Amen? And I could tell you over and over, hey, that's a witness. I just gave you a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for me. That should bless your soul. Whenever you tell me things that the Lord did for you, it blesses my soul. We're to be witnesses to everybody. We go out to the lost and we witness to them. Hey, when I witness to somebody, I just assume they're already lost. They say, I'm saved. Okay, yeah, you're lost to me. I'm going to witness to you the same way. But if you are a Christian and you hear me witness to you, you should get a blessing out of that. Why? It should remind you exactly what Jesus Christ already did for you. And if you're not saved as a witness what Jesus did for me and he saved me, then that gives you an opportunity to call upon him and get saved as well. But the point is, the basics is I can't do that in my power. I've got to do it in the Lord's power. And you say, well, how do I do that? By staying right with the Lord. Confessing your sins, making sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when you go out there, you won't have to think about what to say. It'll be right there. If you've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you know what I'm talking about. When somebody comes up to you and you stand on a track to them, here, read this. You know, when you read there in the book of Acts, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they went out with boldness. It says it twice in Acts. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God and they went out with boldness and witnessed to people. You know what that means? When you're truly filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you'll go out and you'll boldly witness to people. You'll boldly witness people. And when that happens, just like it was in the early church,
then you'll make a difference. You'll make a difference here in Great Falls. As a church, we need to get back to the basics. And the basics is this. We got to do things in God's power, not our own. We have to do that. If we don't do that, folks, then I don't expect this church is going to grow at all this year. But if we do it in God's power, we can make a difference in this town. We can even possibly turn this town upside down. Wouldn't that be a great thing? I'm not doing it for notoriety, but it'd be nice to see people get saved. It'd be nice to see so many people get saved and started bleeding over into our leadership in this city. And revival start. Wouldn't that be great?
Amen.
We got to get back to basics, and you will start to see the way things were then. You'll start to see things be back that way. You'll start to see the Lord do a mighty work through us. But the question is tonight, are you willing to go out there in the Lord's power? Are you still wanting to go out there in your own? Are you willing to stay right with the Lord and stay filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Keep a short account with the Lord. Confess those sins. Stay right with Him so you can go out and make a difference. Are you willing to go out and let Him do something through you this coming year? And if you're not, you need to start doing that tonight. As a church, we need to start doing that tonight. Let's make this coming year a great year for this church. But let's make sure it's great because Jesus Christ is great working through us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand.